Welcome to this week's edition of the Mercies of God radio broadcast with the late Pastor Peter Nordier. For decades, Pastor Nordier shared the burden of his heart for the lost, preaching the message of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, telling the world that the cross couldn't hold him, the grave couldn't keep him, hell had no room for him, and that he is coming back soon. Please stay tuned following this broadcast for how you can become a faith partner of this ministry and continue to help us share these timely messages to a new generation of believers. And now, here is the late Pastor Peter Nordier.
This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you. And now we ask, if you will, you bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are that thou art still in the business of calling thy sheep from where they are, over there on the hills and valleys and in the crooks and wherever they may be located, and that thou art busy searching them out and bringing them back into the fold, as you said that thou wouldst do. We praise thee and thank thee, our God, for the privilege we have of knowing thee, and we praise thee that the door of salvation is still open, and that whosoever will may come. But, O our God, we know that they'll not come unless thou dost draw them with a special unction from thee and a special drawing from thee. And so we pray, O Spirit of God that thou art, it is thy sphere to search out and find the elect of God, wherever they may be. And we ask thee, be pleased to use the broadcast as a medium of thine to bring individuals unto thyself. How we thank thee, Lord, that thou art God, and that thou dost know wherever they are, and, Lord, thou dost know when they're going to come and under what circumstances thou shalt draw them. All we praise thee that all those that have been given to Christ shall come eventually to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and not one of them will be lost. How great and good thou art, our God, in thy marvelous eternal plan of redemption, and how we praise thee that we have just a small part in it. We ask thy blessing upon those that listen at this hour. Thou dost know their needs, and we lift them to thee because some are downhearted, some are discouraged, some, Lord, are incarcerated in the prisons, and we pray especially for those that listen to us in the prisons at this hour. Oh, bless them, Lord, and them, and enable them to stand for thee in the midst of that degradation and depravity that they are living in. We pray, our God, that thou wilt especially watch over them and enable them, Lord, to be a witness for thee in that place that thou hast put them for the time being. Then we pray for those that are sick and afflicted. Watch over them, Lord, as only thou art able. And, Lord, raise them back to health as it please thee. But most of all, get glory to thy name in this broadcast, and we'll just praise thee and thank thee forever and ever. We ask it, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast. This is Pastor Peter Nortier. Some of you pronounce my name Nortier. Some of you pronounce it Nortier. Either pronunciation is correct, so use it whichever one you will. But we're delighted to come into your home at this hour by the means of radio. We trust you've tuned in for a blessing, and we want you, if you can, get your Bible down and be ready to follow in a few moments in the Word of God as we'll bring you a Bible message. Now, perhaps you can't do that. Maybe you're driving down the highway, but if you are, just keep driving, and we hope that you'll be able to continue to listen until the broadcast is over with. Then we want you to do these three things for us, if you will. Number one, if you're on praying ground, we want you to pray for the broadcast as never before. Ask the Lord to use it. And ask the Lord also to supply the needs, because we have many of them. You know, we don't beg for money, we beg the Lord. And we know he lays it on the hearts of God's people to help support the broadcast. So if you're being fed by it, and if you're encouraged by it, we hope that the Lord lay it on your heart to help maintain the broadcast in your area. Now, for you to do that, and to write, you must write us a letter. And so we want you to drop us a letter or a card this week. Then do the third, if you will. Pray for us, drop us a letter or a card, and then you tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast. Even now, pick up the telephone, if you will. Call them and give them the call letters of the station to which you're listening, because we are on many radio stations. And so these are the three things we want you to do. And we ask also that you'll pray for our country, because we stand in a dire need of a great awakening. Oh, that the Lord God in heaven would just give a great awakening across America, as he did back yonder in the days of Jonathan Edwards. You pray with us about it, and then we'll wait and trust the Lord for it. Pray for those in authority over us, and ask the Lord God of heaven to make them conscious, I should say, of the tremendous responsibility that rests upon them, and that we'll all give an account unto the Lord God of heaven for what we've done. But remember the broadcast. We'll be looking to hear from you this week, so don't disappoint us.
But Joshua had said unto the two men that spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all she hath, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the city. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. This is one place in the Bible and one of the few where the whole household was saved. Now, how'd they all get saved? By the works of Rahab. Now, follow me. Here are the works of Rahab. Number one, she lived in a world under judgment like we are. This world isn't going to get any better. It's going to get worse. The reservation for this world is to be burned up in fire, as God will baptize it with his fire. Nuclear war won't do it. But God will. Rahab lived in a world under judgment. We live in a world under judgment. And God says to every individual in this room today, you have two commands to obey. Number one, you are to repent. And number two, you are to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't say, would you like to? God doesn't say, would it be a nice thing for you if you did? God has given you a command. And it's the sovereign God that commands it. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. And to disobey that command means to bring upon you the wrath and power of God Almighty. Now, it's that plain. Rahab lived in a world under judgment. Are you listening? The second thing about Rahab, she labored, but she had time. I've been here 26 years. My time is running out. I say that to you. I have no guarantee I'll be here another 26 years. My time is running out. I know that. I don't know when, but I know it is. You don't either. We live in a world under judgment. We labor while we have time. Our time is the present hour. The Lord Jesus is coming back. We're 2,000 years closer to his return than we were before. We labor while we have the time. Rahab labored while she had the time. Then, the third thing about Rahab, she looked for the deliverance to come. What'd she go on? Same thing you and I do. Only God's word. Go back to Joshua 2, real quickly. In Joshua chapter 2, we find, beginning with verse 14, the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Then skip down, if you will, to verse 21. And she said, according unto your words So be it, and she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Are you listening? Rahab labored while there was time. She looked for the deliverance to come. What she had to go on? Those men said, we're coming back. Jesus said, I'm coming back. But he also says, occupy till I come. Oh, believer today, if ever you need to pray, you need to pray today. You need to pray now. Our days of grace are running out. We don't have much time that's left. You don't, I don't. But I'm looking for the deliverance to come. So did Rahab. The fourth thing about Rahab was this. The language of God was her comfort. Over and over again, she would have reverberating in her ears, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And Rahab, when we take the city, whoever is in the house, in your house, and the door shut, they're going to be spared. But if they're found outside in the city, they're going to die. And if you tell anybody, it's no good. You see, she was under obedience. And you and I have the same thing. Now, what comforted Rahab? The language of God. Why, we are to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart. I wonder how many of you can quote at least three or four hymns. Wonder how many of you can. Now, if you can't, you ought to make use of those things. Learn those hymns. Learn the Word of God. That's why we spend every Sunday night and memorize at least one verse of Scripture. Why? It's the language of God, and it's our comfort. Rahab had the language of God as her comfort. And then in Joshua chapter 6 and verses 22 and 23, the last thing about Rahab was this. She laid hold of God to save her loved one. How'd she do it? She went to the Lord in prayer. She had brothers. She had sisters. She had a father. She had a mother. And the whole gang got converted. What a testimony. How'd she do it? By hollering at him? No. How'd she do it? By condemning him? No. She lived her life and quietly and effectively witnessed to those loved ones day in and day out. Find old Rahab, one of these days I'm going to ask her. I'll say, Rahab, how'd you reach your brother? She'll tell me. She said, first of all, I prayed for him. I prayed for him, and then I'd show him I loved him, and I'd talk to him as I had the opportunity. And all the time I did that, I had to be quiet. Now listen to me. Rahab did not know but what one of her own loved ones would betray her to the king. And if they had, the king would have killed her. But God didn't allow it, did he? You see, she laid hold of God for her loved one. I don't see how you believers here today can stay away on Sunday night and never be in a prayer meeting, and some of you don't even come when you've got boys and girls and men and women that you're related to that are going straight to hell, and you stay home. You're not laying hold of God. We need to be like Rahab. Labor while we have the time and lay hold of God for her loved ones. And she had to wait on the results. Was she successful? Turn to Joshua 6 the last time. Look at verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. What a testimony, but what a challenge. Now, the martyrs have been given to us, and obedience is incumbent upon us. Now, let me tell you something. The responsibility is now yours. You say, preacher, what about you? I've had it twice to me. I had it set forth before me while I was getting this message. And now I've preached the message to you and to me too. So I've had it twice already. The responsibility is yours. You here without Christ this morning? I got good news for you. God hasn't killed you yet. That's good news. You're still alive. You're still to the lift. And I've good news for you. You really want to be saved? You can be. The Lord Jesus Christ is still ready, willing and able to save that all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. All right, now what you want for most? The world? You want your own way? You want all the stigma that comes with it? You want all the filth and degradation and the damnation of this world? All right, stay right where you are. You'll get it. Guaranteed. But all that you'd want Christ. The greatest thing that can happen to you is for the Lord Jesus to save you. Greatest thing to take place is for God to have mercy on you. He's already had it. You're not in hell this morning. I read again this morning. A couple more teenagers got shot in Detroit. I worry about that. There seems to be no concern of life any longer. You know why? Because there's no preaching of the gospel. That's why. But listen, there's a heaven to gain, a hell to shun. Without Christ, eternity is yours with damnation. Forever. Like Vern said in his letter, he said it's plain and simple. In Christ we have eternal life. Without Christ we face an eternity of damnation and hell. And it's so. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. See, people come along and say, well, I don't believe that. Doesn't change it any. A lot of people today don't believe that cancer kills. A lot of folks today don't believe that AIDS are in existence either. But they are. Some are saying, oh, it'll never happen to me. But it does. One by one, we pass away. There's a heaven to gain, a hell to shun. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way out. Now, you've got a responsibility. What you want? You want the world? Want your own way? Then you don't want Christ. My hope is that the Lord speak to your heart and he'll put a desire in your soul to come to know the Lord Jesus, because it's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. You see, we're on the winning side. And it's sure. And my Lord still says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Got a letter from a young lady this past week. She said to me, she said, I get so angry. She said, I get so mad. She said, I read that God says he'll receive everybody. I pray, and he hasn't received me. She said, I get so mad about it. You know why? Let me tell you why. That little girl hasn't been broken yet. You see, God's not going to save you when you think you're worthy to be saved. God's going to save you when you realize how unworthy you are. And then he'll sneak up on your blind side, and to your amazement, he'll reach you. You see? And I wrote her back. I said, well, I said, the Lord's just teaching you three things. Number one, that salvation is all of God and all of grace. And number two, that God's sovereign. And number three, that you haven't been broken yet before God. You see, you can't demand God to do anything. You and I are at his disposal. But how wonderful it is, he's laid out for us a plan whereby everybody that comes to him on the basis of Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He'll not turn down, but he'll take us and protect us, and he's prepared a beautiful home for us to live forever. Now, some of you here tonight, some of you here today, you're Jericho's, your imagination. And I'm not going to come. That's your imagination. I'm not going, nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's your imagination. Well, I'll tell you, somebody will. You don't listen to God in this life, you're going to listen to him in the life to come, because he will tell you and he will enforce it. It's that simple. But how wonderful that he still loves to save sinners. Oh, if you're a sinner here today and God's shown you, you see, you're not a sinner until God shows you. Some of you here have an intellectual idea as to what sin is. You've never seen yourself as God shows you until he dies. You've never seen yourself as God sees you until he shows you. And then when he dies, he fills you with a fear and a shame and a consternation and an anguish that you've never had before. And then to your amazement, he reaches down and delivers you. Now, Rahab went through that. Go back and read the second chapter, and you'll see how she went through it. Oh, may the Lord open your heart today. And believer, the marching orders are ours. What's your responsibility? It'll be shown by whether or not some of you are here tonight. It'll be shown in the prayer room. Some of you stay home like you always do, prove right positive right then and there. You don't care about your loved ones. But Rahab did. She laid hold of God to save him. And that's why I've been asking you again, ask the Lord to give you a burden. We got to have a burden like Rahab had. And then God will intervene. And how wonderful that he still does. Oh, may the Lord work in our hearts today. Shall we stand? Our Father, this morning, we commit this service and this people unto thee, knowing, Lord, this has been an awesome hour. And yet how gracious thou art and how good thou art to us in showing us these marvelous realities. And what an awesome responsibility you've laid upon us as soldiers. Now, Lord, help us to meet them. Oh, we pray for every one of us that know thee. Lord, we need you. Help us. And Lord, take charge. Guide and direct us and give us the grace to follow hard after thee. And then make us like Rahab, laboring, laying hold of thee till our loved ones are all in the fold. Then we pray for the Jericho sinners that are here today, shut up against thee. Their hearts are barred and locked, and they're defiant like Jericho was. Lord God, pierce their souls. Reach down, Lord, and open their understandings. Break down that imagination and every thought that's in disobedience. Bring them down at thy feet in repentance, crying for mercy. Oh, Lord, do that work as only thou art able. And all the glory is thine. Lord, save these people. We beg thee. We ask it for thy sake. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of The Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life, in your home, in your workplace, and in your world. These messages may have been preached many years ago, but there is a generation that has not been blessed with these messages from Pastor Peter Nortier. If you've been blessed by this message and you would like to help share this message with others, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as the Spirit of God leads? Please write us at The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. That address once again, The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. Your gifts of financial support to this ministry are greatly appreciated and will be invested in the kingdom of God. Until next week, please remember to pray daily, seek the face of the Father, and to always ask for the mercies of God.
The sun.